I have a very specific question that we're going to address this afternoon. We're going to talk about this question: how did Jesus raise from the dead? The reason why is, for many years, even as a pastor in the church, I didn't understand this correctly. I understood it differently. So what we're going to do is just look at a ton of scriptures and try to conclude, what does the Bible say? All right. So if you're interested in the notes, I do have them available. I can send them to you either, you know, through texting or at a website, or just print it out for you if you were interested. But so that's the question we're going to address. How did Jesus raise from the dead? Okay. I don't know if you've ever studied this before from the Bible, but I was quite surprised when I came from this study, understanding differently than I ever had before. So the first verse that we're going to look at is in Matthew 16, 21. They will all be here, just copied and pasted, and you will see if I have notes, I've made that clear. From that time forth began Jesus to show himself unto the disciples, how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. So you're going to see this word here underlined, purple, and bolded. The reason being is, in my Bible program, which you can see right here, I would be able to just search a word like raised, and you will see it. I took off the underline in my program because I chose not to use it later, but that's the idea. It's purple and it's bold. So in this case, it's purple, underlined, and bold. So that's what I did, is I looked up the word raised in the New Testament, okay, to try to figure out, how is this word used when Jesus had said he will be raised again the third day? How did that happen? Matthew 17, verse 23. Most of these verses are in chronological order. I just took everything it says about raised and put it on the screen. I don't think I left any verses out, but I may have, because some of them may not have been consistent with the idea of Christ being raised. So, you know, if, for example, if it says the Bible, you know, in the Bible, somebody raised their hands, I wouldn't have chosen that one to talk about Jesus being raised, right? So if there are some verses that are not included in this study, it was for that reason. 17 verse 23 in the book of Matthew, they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And so here he had been telling the fact that he would be raised, and here he says it in his own words this time, that he would be killed and raised again. Now, we still don't have any instruction on how Jesus was raised, but it does say that he foretold that he would be raised, and it told, he said that to his disciples in 9:22 right there. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain, and he will be raised the third day. So again, here we have another time where Christ is just simply stating the fact. He doesn't explain how. He doesn't say who will do it. He just says that he would be raised. 5:21. As the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so, or in the same way, the Son of Man will quicken whom he will. So we see here that Jesus is saying that the Father is the one that raises up the dead. Is that consistent with the rest of our thoughts that we will learn? Put that one in your head, because now we have a direct statement of Jesus of how it will be done. The Father will raise the dead, right? Acts chapter 2, 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, that would be Christ, should be holden of it. So here, this verse says that God raised his son up. Okay, if you look at the context, that's really what's happening. It's Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. This was one of the Pentecostal messages. This was part of it that Peter was preaching. Okay, on the day when the Holy Spirit fell in what we know as the former reign, part of his message was that God raised up Jesus. Okay, because death wasn't able to hold him. In Acts 2:31, same context, he, this is David, seeing this, Peter is speaking of David, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. So according to Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he was actually saying that God raised his son. God is the one that raised up Jesus. Now, Jesus had already told with his own mouth that he would be raised on the third day. Jesus never said that God would raise me up on the third day, but there is clarification so far from Peter, and also Peter understanding David, that God would raise him up, right? Look at Acts 3:15. They killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. So we have this idea that Jesus was the Prince of Life. He was killed. And as a result of the Prince of Life being killed, he needed to be raised. Well, who raised him? Right here it says, God has raised him from the dead. Right? So far we already have three testimonies that God is the one that raised him from the dead. And so I really like that idea according to the Bible. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So we're still in the book of Acts, and we see here that God raised up the dead, and now God, having raised up his son, Jesus, it's pretty clear we know who it is that raised up Jesus. It was the Father. It was the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that raised him up from the dead. And we can see that in Acts 3:26. What about Acts 4:10? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, so I used to teach, and I used to understand that Jesus resurrected himself. That is a very common teaching from the pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, I was a pastor for many years. I pastored in seven different congregations, and I have been traveling all over the place. I've interacted with four different conferences as workers in their conferences. So I have a little bit of a voice to say that I know what some of these pastors have taught. And plus, beyond that pastoring experience, I've been able to interact with many, many pastors. And I've heard them say with their own voice, Jesus raised himself. Well, my question is, if Jesus was dead, how did he raise himself? I mean, that seems like a pretty good question, right? Because if I were dead, there would be nothing I could do. If Jesus is dead, there should be nothing he could do. Well, I do know that a lot of people have said, myself included, so I'm not out of this mix, but I don't say it anymore. Now I say something different. But I used to say that, well, only humanity died. Divinity did not die. Which is a statement you could make in the right understanding. See, Jesus, he was the Son of God even before he came to this earth. I mean, think about it. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent who? His only begotten Son. Now, if he didn't have a begotten Son, could he have sent his only begotten Son? No. And so the very most famous verse itself is crying out the fact that God had a Son before he sent his Son. That's how he had a Son to send. It's basic logic, but it's something that's missed by some. Even pastors. I know this because I've interacted with them. I never really said that, but I know that there are people that do say that. So the whole thing is, God had a son, and God sent his son. That son died, but my point that I was making before is that son was divine. He still is divine, right? Now, we must understand that God sent a son that didn't have an earthly body. You can read in 1 Corinthians 15, if you're interested, you could read that there are heavenly bodies, there are celestial bodies, there are earthly bodies, there are terrestrial bodies, there are bodies for the fish, for the birds, and for the animals of the earth. There are also, as it says, terrestrial, but that means human. There are human bodies. Each of them differs in glory. Some glories like the sun, some glories are like the moon, some glories are like the stars. But in the resurrection, we're all going to have different glory because we all have different gems on our crowns, right? And so the idea of 1 Corinthians 15 is actually describing the different types of bodies. Christ had a human body, but we must understand that the divinity that Christ had before he had a human body was clothed in humanity. Are you with me? Okay? I don't think I've lost any of you yet with this idea, because the divine Son of God took on flesh. I'll show it to you here real quick. If you go to Hebrews 10, verse 5, for example, it says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," okay, when he came into the world, that means he existed before he came into the world, right? So when he came into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared for me." So if he didn't have a body that was human, but he came into the world and a body was prepared for him, he must have had existed before he took on the body. Okay, that makes good sense with this verse, right? And so he had a body. Even God the Father has a body. And some of you will say, "Wait a minute, God is a spirit." You're right. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, "God is spirit." But have you noticed John 5:37? "The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice," that means God has a voice, "nor have you seen his shape," that means God has a shape. So God the Father has a shape. God the Father is the one that sent his Son. Now, his Son was divine, and when he died, he died as a divine sacrifice. Amen? Amen? So now, as a divine sacrifice, he died. But he was dead, just like you would be dead if you stopped breathing, right? Mm-hmm. Not just holding your breath, but I mean like breathing ceased. We have some nurses in the congregation here. We know that when you're dead, right? You don't have a pulse, you don't have a breath, you don't have thoughts, you don't have a visitation back to your home. All of what the Bible says, you're dead. The body without the spirit or breath is dead. And so Jesus didn't have a breath. He didn't have a spirit at that time. He was dead. So he died as a divine sacrifice, but when he died, divinity did not die. What does that mean? The source of all divinity, his Father, did not die. If you're careful in the writings, you'll be able to see that's what she meant. Anyways, if you go and you see in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, that's what's being said here. God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus Christ. And we've seen that all through so far. Jesus was the one that said, "I will be raised." But the book of Acts makes it very clear. God the Father raised his Son from the dead. Okay? Acts 5, verse 30. "The God of our fathers," that would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that would be God the Father, "he raised up Jesus." Okay, so who is the God of our fathers? That would be the Father, God the Father. "He raised up Jesus, his Son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Acts 10, verse 40. "God raised up," or rather him, that would be Jesus, if you look at the context, "God raised up the third day and showed him openly." Again, the same testimony. God raised up Jesus. Acts 13, verse 30. "God raised him from the dead." Okay, so we have a pretty consistent testimony through the book of Acts so far. Acts 13, 34. "As concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." Now, it doesn't say here who this he is that raised him up from the dead, but we can conclude that the author of the book of Acts, which was Luke, he understood who it was. So could we then take our previous understanding and put who it is that the he is referring to here? Who is that?
The Father.
That's God the Father, right? It must be. Acts 13, 37. "But he," that would be Jesus, "whom God raised again, saw no corruption." We know that from the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost as well. He made that clear, quoting from the book of David, or Psalms. Acts 17, 30, and 31, and perhaps onward. No, 31. "The times of this ignorance God winked at," that would be God the Father, "but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he," God the Father, "has appointed a day in which he," God the Father, "will judge the world in righteousness by somebody, that man whom he has ordained," that would be his Son. "He," that would be the Father, "hath given assurance unto all men in that he," God the Father, "hath raised his Son from the dead." So according to this section of the Bible, God the Father is the judge. How is he the judge? It says, by that man whom he hath ordained, he will judge the world. Okay? So God the Father judges the world. He does it by his Son. God the Father raised up his Son. There's no question that the book of Acts is giving that testimony. What about the last verse in the book of Acts? 26 verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Again, that's God the Father. Now, so far we have heard a very consistent testimony in the book of Acts that God the Father raised up Jesus. There's not a single verse that goes contrary to that. We don't have any other comments or ideas that are brought forth. Jesus never said, I will raise myself. He never said that anybody other than, well, he never actually said how he would be raised. He just simply said he would be raised. Now, the book of Acts clarifies it was God the Father. Notice Romans 4, 24 and 25. For us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. Here in this section, you're talking about righteousness. Okay? Now, in order for us to receive righteousness, what do we need according to this verse? It shall be imputed, which is righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus. Who is him that raised up Jesus?
God the Father.
Yeah. So you will get righteousness if you believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord. Wait a minute. How come we've never heard from our pulpits that we're supposed to believe on God the Father to get righteousness? We've always been taught that you believe on the Son. But according to Romans, we're to believe on the Father to have this imputed righteousness. Amen? That seems pretty clear, doesn't it? So, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered unto our for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's when we are imputed. We have justification, right? And so this whole idea of Romans chapter 4 is that we are to believe on God the Father. Remember Jesus said in John 14, I'll just go there real quick. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God the Father, believe also in me. Now, it doesn't say you believe in God, that's all you need. If you believe in God, it doesn't mean you also believe in Jesus. If you believe in God, you are also to believe in Jesus. That's two personalities. Two people that are being referred to, God and his Son, Jesus. So Jesus knew that they, the disciples, after the 3 years that he had ministered to them, he knew that they believed on his Father. Now they're to believe also on him. He was all through the Bible declaring himself as the Son of God. And you know, one of the proofs that we can know that the Jews knew that God had a son was because when Jesus kept saying, I am the Son of God, no Jew anywhere ever said, God doesn't have a son. They just simply said, we don't believe you're the one. You know, so that was really the issue that the Jews had. They knew that God had a son, they just didn't think Jesus was the Son of God. So now, Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead, how? By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So, when we're baptized, what glory brings us forth from that watery grave? The glory of the Father. Just as Jesus was buried, okay? We are buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, so we also are going to walk in newness of life. So really, the Father is the one that gives us that blessing When, remember, we've said it 1,000 times, you've heard it 1,000 times, but you always thought it was Jesus that really does this, right? Gives you new life when you're resurrected. But it was the Father who said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So who's the one that gave the verbal blessing at that time? It was God the Father. Exactly. Romans 6, verse 9. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, as we know, by the Father, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." So though this doesn't say it, we know according to all the previous scriptures, it was the Father that raised his Son. Romans 7, verse 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So we know that he was raised from the dead by his Father, and he was, remember, the first fruits. Jesus was, according to the Bible. So we also will be fruit unto God. What kind of fruit? Like first fruits, right? So God is being referred to as, again, the one resurrecting. There's a verse in Corinthians that you're just going to love if you're excited about this topic like I am. Chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay, who was it that raised up Jesus from the dead? The Father. If God the Father's spirit, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Okay, so whose spirit do we have? God's spirit. How do we have God's spirit? Through the mediation of his Son. Because remember, John chapter 14, I'm just going to scroll down a little bit because we heard before, verse 6. "I am the way." Okay, Jesus, where are you the way to? "I am the truth," compared to what lies? "And I am the life," of course, compared to death. So I am the way. The way to where? "No man comes unto the Father but by me." So the whole goal of Christ's ministry was to bring us where? To the Father. And so if the Father's Spirit dwells in you, as it says there in Romans, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he, the Father, that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also give you life, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And so, did you know that we actually have the Spirit of God the Father? That's amazing to me. Because I have for so many years taught it's all about Christ and this other guy called the Holy Spirit. But it's not that way. I will be very bold to say we have the Spirit of God. How? Through his Son. You see? Romans 10, verse 9. "If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So wait a minute. Are you telling me that we need to understand that God raised him from the dead in order to be saved? Is that what it's saying? Let me read it again just for clarification. "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead," what happens? This is part of the gospel. Part of the gospel that would bring us to salvation is the fact that God the Father is the one that raised his Son from the dead. It wasn't some mystery. It's not something that happened in some inner divinity that didn't die. Jesus was dead. God the Father raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14. "God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." Okay, did you see that? Did you know what that said? God raised up his Son and will also raise up us by his own power. Whose own power? God the Father's power. And so when Jesus comes to raise us from the dead, who's doing it? It's God the Father doing it through his Son. God does everything through his son. So God is the resurrector. God is also the savior. Why? Because he sent his son so we would be saved. We receive God's spirit. How? Through his son. God is the giver of life. He's the provider. He's everything for us. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. If in fact there is no resurrection, that's what's being said here. Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So in other words, we're telling you God raised up Christ, but we're false witnesses if the dead don't raise. Okay? For if the dead do not raise, then Christ is not raised by the Father. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. So the whole idea of Christ resurrecting is a major part of the gospel. And another major part of that gospel of Christ's resurrection is that God the Father raised him from the dead. So we have God the Father and his Son as major parts of the gospel. If you believe this, you will be saved, it says. Notice 2 Corinthians 1, and then I'll read to you another one. I want to keep the other one hidden because that's where the power is. I want to show you that one. That's a beautiful verse. 2 Corinthians 1, 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So we're not to trust in ourselves, but who are we to trust in? That's God the Father. Because we've learned many times it was God the Father that raised his son and that will also raise up us also, right? Now, notice this verse. This is the one that I thought was going on. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:14? I didn't even know this one existed the way I do now until our time together, right now, okay? That verse is saying that God will raise up us up by his power in the same way that this verse is saying it. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, that's the Father, shall raise up us also, how? By his Son, Jesus, and shall present us with you. So, two times in the Corinthians, one in 1 Corinthians that I didn't know about until just now, and another time here, which I knew about for a couple years now, God the Father is going to raise us up. How does God the Father raise us up? Through his Son. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So again, teaching the Galatians, part of the gospel, in the very first verse, God the Father raised up Jesus. I love it. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to learn about the gospel to the Ephesians now, which he wrought in Christ when he, that would be the Father, raised him, his Son, from the dead and set him at the Father's own right hand in the heavenly places. And so again, the Father is the one that raised his Son. That was to the Ephesians, now to the Colossians. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God the Father, who has raised him, that's the Son, from the dead. Pretty consistent scriptures. And how I used to teach that it was Jesus who resurrected himself, I have no idea, except that it is a very common thought in general Christianity. The reason why is because there are two verses we will look at in this study that make it sound like Jesus resurrected himself or had prophesied that he would. Notice as we continue. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. To wait for his Son from heaven, that would be the Father's Son from heaven, whom the Father raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. By the way, the wrath comes from the Father. You can find that in your own study. God saved us from the wrath of his Father. It wasn't because God was angry with us, but because God was angry with the sin we had chosen to commit, right? Notice Hebrews 11, verse 19. Accounting that God, that's the Father, was able. You've heard that song, he's able, he's able, I know he's able. Well, guess what? God the Father is able to raise him up, his Son, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Okay? First Peter chapter 1:21. Now Peter's teaching it. who by him do believe in God the Father that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Gave him glory. So the glory that Jesus has was given to him. That's what it says. In fact, you can even see this. Watch this. John 17, verse 22. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they should be one, even as we are one. Okay, wait. Jesus is praying. The glory, Father, which you gave me, that glory, I have given my disciples. Really? That blows my mind. The glory that Christ has is the glory that we now have? How? Because the Father does everything through his Son. Okay? So, Peter was teaching that God the Father was raised up. Now, Matthew 28, verse 11, says something that is equated in a book that if you haven't read, you ought to read it. It's really powerful. It's called Desire of Ages. The Desire of Ages. That book actually says that God the Father sent his angel down. And that angel was the one that said, Son, thy Father calls thee. Do you remember reading that? Son, thy Father calls thee. So it wasn't God that left heaven to come down and actually resurrect his Son. But what he did is he sent an angel. Notice what it says in Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the here's why there was an earthquake. Because, or for, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. Okay, when you roll back the stone, what are you saying? Come forth, right? Son, thy Father calls thee, the one who has been put into that tomb, come forth. Thy Father calls thee, verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Those are Romans. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. So there was some time that went on there. Perhaps when the angel sat, it doesn't say this, but perhaps that's when Christ left. Well, when the angel showed himself to the, or was revealed to the Romans, they shook and fell as dead men. It doesn't say, but perhaps there was a little bit of time that passed where Mary showed up, because remember, there was a lot of things happening at the same time. And so it says it in just a few verses, but there may have been a little bit of time whereby Mary coming up, she was a little late. She didn't see Jesus leave. The Romans, who knows, maybe they were looking the other way when Jesus left, but whatever happened, there was an earthquake, they fell. Christ may have left after the time they fell. I don't know. I'll find out for sure in heaven. But this idea that the angel came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it is a very good clue to the fact that God the Father sent his angel to resurrect his Son, according to the Bible, right? Now, here are the verses, John 2 and John 10. These two sections of the Bible I have used in my previous experience from the pulpit teaching people that Jesus resurrected himself. Let's see if that has any merit. If not, we need to understand them differently because we have all those other testimonies from different authors, Peter, Luke, Jesus himself, Paul. They all clarified Jesus was resurrected by his Father. Notice what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, those are the Pharisees that he was speaking to, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. There it is, right? That's the statement. There it is. Jesus said, I will raise it up. John 2, verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple and building, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. So really, when Jesus said this, though he was pointing or referring, it seemed, to the temple that they were referring to, because he had said, at this point, he had cast them out of the temple, remember? They thought he was referring to this temple, but he was speaking in parabolic language. John clarified, he was speaking of the body of his, or the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. Now, here are my comments. These are some of my only comments so far. The wording of Christ is symbolic, not of the temple, but of his body, as explained by John. If symbolic, is the temple of his body referring to the church or Christ's physical flesh? Well, it could be both. Okay, I would give it room for both. Now, the reason why I say it could be both is because spiritually, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the church as his body, right? He is the head, and the church is the body, exactly. So that's what 1 Corinthians 12 talks about. Also, the words, I will raise, watch this, are not part of the Greek as individual characters, but rather, they are assumed by the translators as meaning, just as the Jews understood, that Christ concluded that he will raise himself up. Now, notice what I mean. In John chapter 2, verse 20, John 2, 19, every time I put my mouse over a word, you will see that that word is highlighted in blue, okay? The specific reason is because this computer program is telling me what words are in the actual Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic, okay? Now, Jesus is a word, answered is a word, and is a word, said is a word. Unto is not a word, that's supplied for the translation. Them is a word, destroy is a word, this is a word, temple is a word, and is a word, in is a word, three is a word, days is a word, I, will, raise are not words. Those are not Greek words. So it was assumed that Jesus meant this while they were translating. You hear me? Those are not words in the actual Greek. That is not a word-for-word translation. So, if we have all these scenarios here, I will raise it is a word up. So what did Jesus say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, it will be up. He didn't say, I will raise it up. Okay? So the translation here is in question. Is that fair to say? Okay, if what I said is true, that every time I mouse over one of these words, it's blue because there's an actual Greek letter, word there, then it bears some strong foundation that it's not the Greek that's the problem. If it said I, if that was an actual Greek word, will, an actual Greek word, and raise, an actual Greek word, then we would have to question all the other verses because Jesus has given testimony contrary to the rest of all the verses that we've said or read. But we don't have that. We have a clear description that Jesus didn't actually say those words, right? Meaning, when the temple is destroyed, in 3 days, it will be up again. Yes, sweetheart. Yes, in fact, they were bold, they were purple, and they were underlined because those are the words that the Bible study tool found. Those are the actual Greek words. So raised, every one of them. That's how I got this study together as I looked up that word raised. Yeah, so good question. So now, we have a real problem with that section of this John chapter 2. So really, Jesus wasn't meaning, I will raise myself up. Because Jesus would be dead. Dead folk don't raise themselves up. I don't care who you are, you don't do that. Because that's what death is, the inability to have life. You don't have it, right? Now, the other one is in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. You will see these are my comments right here in bold and in red, okay? Also in brackets. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. That's Jesus saying, I will lay down my life. And that's true. He didn't die because he was on a cross and beaten. He died because he gave up his life. He surrendered himself under the submission, or to submission unto death, okay? He came under the, what, how did she say it? He voluntarily yielded himself to the dominion of death, and that's why he died. I lay down my life of myself, that I might take it again. Okay? Now, this word take, it's the Greek word 2983. That word does not mean resurrect. If it did, we'd have a problem here. Because Jesus would be saying, I'm going to lay down my life that I might resurrect it again. But he didn't say that. The word take means to receive. So if I handed you a Bible, dear brother, and you took it from me, you would have taken it. That's the Greek word. So Jesus had the opportunity, having the Father raise him up, he had the opportunity to take that life that the Father offered him, right? And so the same word is used down here and here. But notice, this is a different word, and so are these. Oh, the word power, sorry. Power is, I'm just going to forget the word power. But this is a different word from these other two. Notice what it says. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might receive it again. No man steals it, takes it. I'm going to actually look that one up. John 10:18. John 10:18. No man takes it from me. This is a different word. We can see it. That word is to away with, to bear, to carry, lift up, loose, put away, remove, take away. So no man takes my life away from me. Okay, let's go back over here. I lay down my life. Nobody can, I lay down my life that I might receive it again. No man steals it, takes it, brings it away from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to receive it again. Okay? So these words, take and take here, are the same Greek, whereas this one is different. The whole point of this section is the Greek word, none of them mean resurrect. So if he would have said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to resurrect my life, all of what I said would be crushed. And all of what the other Bible prophets said would be crushed as well, because it was God the Father that raised him up. But with this understanding of the basic Greek, meaning it take means receive, we have no problems here. Jesus was simply saying, I have the ability to lay down my life. My Father's given me that ability. And when my Father calls me from the grave, I have the ability to receive that life again. You know, because when God the Father raised his Son from the dead, Jesus could have resurrected and said, you know what, I don't want this. No, thank you. Right? And he could have rejected the life that his Father gave him. But he didn't reject it. He received that life from his Father, as he had for 33 years before. So in this study, I've included the different Greek words that I've referred to, and you can see them for yourself. But the whole point of this message today is to show us that Jesus did not resurrect himself. Jesus was dead. A divine death was his. But that divine death could not resurrect himself. It was the Father that raised him from the dead. This is part of the gospel, as you have seen. And we can have salvation as a result of understanding and knowing these things and teaching them. Because now we know where the power comes from. The power comes from God, who gave it to his Son. All power has been given unto me, as he said in Matthew 28, verse 18. So are there any questions or comments that need to be clarified, perchance, in this understanding? If not, then praise the Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. And I want to surrender myself to the God that raised my Lord and Savior from the dead. Amen. I want to serve him. And I want him to be my God. And I want to serve him through his Son. I want to understand he and his Son working together better, and I want my life to be directed by both of them based on the will of my Father in heaven. What about you?
Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray together?
Yes.
Holy Father, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. I do pray that you would bless us, that we can continue to further understand what it means in the Bible that you raised your Son from the dead, that you will raise us up in this newness of life as we're baptized, but also at the end, when you send your Son to bring us back to where you are, you will raise us by your Son at that time too. We give you our lives, knowing that you are the source of all. You are the power that even can raise the dead. We ask that you'd please help us to further understand what it means in your holy word, the truths that you have given. I do pray that you would please not only help us to understand these things, but to be transformed by them. We thank you for this, asking your blessings as we continue to fellowship in Jesus' holy name. Amen.